from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Good morning, happy Friday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Microsoft, you know that company. Microsoft is giving away free tickets to a career change that pays. We'll tell you about that at 11:30. So right now, let's get to the headlines.
And we are going to bring back our top story of the day, which is that, as you heard in Aaron's newscast, a majority of Seattle City Council members now say they want to defund the police department by 50% and use that money for other community needs, including more affordable housing. And there was a Zoom conference call yesterday, and during that call, City Council President Lorena Gonzalez apologized for supporting police budget increases in the past.
As somebody who was a civil rights attorney for 10 years before coming to City Council, I spent most of my time suing police departments across the state, including the Seattle Police Department. I've also spent more than 15 years thinking that this is something that we could reform, that we didn't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But I am now convinced that that is not the course of action we need to take. Now is the time to divest from the police department. Now is the time to zero out these budgets and to reimagine, rebuild, build something from a community-led and community-driven perspective that will actually build community safety for the people that have been harmed the most by over-policing and criminalization by mere virtue of existing as a Black, Brown, or Indigenous person in our community.
And I will point out that it is, right now, it has the support of 7 of the 9 City Council members. The only two are Alex Peterson, who represents my district, and Deborah Juarez, who are usually on the, when it's a 7-2, they're usually the ones because they tend to be much more moderate.
You know, we talked about this at the 9 o'clock hour to start the show. So if you guys want to hear that, make sure you download the podcast after the show and you can really hear a longer conversation about this. But I'll just kind of keep it simple. As far as the 50%, I was shocked that it was just 50% right away. I thought that's kind of tough to do that. And the next thing is I'm very concerned that once they do cut it by 50%, I'm concerned on what's going to happen with the money. Will they do right by the money and put those into the resources that are needed?
And if anyone is just joining us now, didn't hear our conversation, because there were 4 areas that they were basically in this proposal, which would be removing Seattle's 911 dispatchers from police control. We are actually going to have a guest on Monday, I'm told, right, Chef?
That's correct.
Who can talk about this? A former...
He used to run the SPD 911 call center for 4 years.
Yeah, so we can get much more, you know, real information from someone who worked in that area, what that would mean. The other thing would be to beef up community-based solutions. We said, yes, you know, do that, because, you know, what is going on right now is not necessarily all of it is not working. But fund a community-led process to imagine life beyond policing. I've heard the police chief say the same thing, and invest in affordable housing. We know that that needs to happen. Like you, I said 50% is too much. But here's my other issue, because I get it. It's a negotiation. But my big issue, too, is just the language and the attitude, which I feel sounds very anti-police. And anymore, I don't feel like this city council represents someone like me who has lived here for 30 years. And I think it's time, personally, to go look back at the idea of citywide representation versus district representation. Because the other thing would be, if you don't think that your vote counts, if you are so frustrated, because I see it everywhere. I see how many people say this city council has gone way too far. If you're not happy with that, we thought there was going to be a big change last time and it didn't happen. Why? Because very few people. It was a higher turnout, but it's still, I think it was maybe 30%. I could be wrong, but it was not, you know, a majority of people voting.
The coronavirus attacks underlying issues, and one big issue and one problem that we've had in, when you start having 29% voter turnout, there's a problem. We have to almost beg people to vote. There's a problem. I hope that going forward, I hope that we are really understanding just how important it is to vote. And that it, I better see it over 50% when it comes to voting. It's very important.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. The mayor, who we would love to have on the show, but the a spokeswoman for her office says the mayor does not object to any of the ideas. but again, calling for 50% reduction is too much. Someone else pointed out in the mayor's office that, you know, to do this would mean that you would have to get rid of a lot of cops. And again, before the pandemic, we were talking about the shortage of officers and the number of people retiring, the number of people leaving, needing to beef up the police department because there were too many crimes happening that were going unanswered. So in this reimagining, I'm all for it. But again, we cannot let it go to such an extreme because of a knee-jerk reaction or a rush to do something to pacify one, you know, certain segment of the population. But again, I don't want to make it sound like I'm not for police reform. I am. So, okay. So we've also talked a lot about schools being up in the air this fall. Governor Inslee says our state is not going to be influenced by the president's threats now to withhold federal funding if they don't reopen.
Well, I just want to say this about his threats. They are hogwash. As with a lot of their claims, they have tried to bully us into making decisions that are not best for the state of Washington.
Oh, it cut off. When this conversation and these arguments that I feel like that we're having, we continue to have these arguments and conversations because there's politics that are in the way. So when the president says things like, I'm going to consider cutting funding of the state. Well, first of all, that's not going to be able to happen. That's not really real. But it's just also an opportunity to, and I don't know who he's talking to. Like, I ask this question all the time. Like, is he talking to the United States of America or is he talking to his base? Is this a campaign measure? Like, it's very frustrating in the middle of a real global pandemic of trying to fight with this global pandemic. Ursula.
Well, and I think there's a segment of the population and, you know, is it all of his base? Probably not. But there is a segment of population that's saying, you know what, we're ready to take a calculated risk. We need to open schools. We need to be there. We cannot deal with, you know, having the kids at home. We have no one to watch them. I mean, there's so many complex things. But, you know, essentially, politics does need to get removed from this because that's not what we're talking about. You know, this claim that it's because Democrats want to keep schools closed for political reasons. I am sure that there are parents of any political affiliation saying, I want to just make sure my kids are safe.
That's it. That's it. You don't have to be conservative or liberal to keep your kids safe.
Yeah. So the other thing is the vice president, Mike Pence, said that the federal government would be issuing new guidelines next week. And then the CDC said, no, that's not the case. We just need clear information in a situation that is going to be anything but clear. And as we've been saying, you have to be ready for change. If you want everything spelled out in black and white, and this is exactly what's going to happen a week from now, a month from now, it changes every day. It changes every hour. But the last thing we need is the bickering so that we're even more confused. Okay, so speaking about COVID and things that are opening or closing, tomorrow Disney is actually going to be welcoming guests back to its flagship theme park, Disney World, in Orlando, Florida. Disney's going to be doing a phased reopening for its Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom parks, followed by Epcot and Hollywood Studios on July 15th. And though the company is implementing several measures to reopen safely, the reopening of this park, which is basically the size of San Francisco, obviously comes with a lot of risk, especially in Florida, where cases are spiking.
Cases are spiking in Florida, in Texas, in Arizona, and is considering to do that. So I don't know. I feel like sometimes we're a broken record on this conversation, on arguing. Like it's easy for me to say, right? Like, hey, Disney, I really don't think you should really open up places for, you know, considering what you're going through in Florida. And then it's like, oh, well, they got to make money. Okay. I think that we aren't going to really start taking this serious until places like Florida start seeing images. And what I'm going to say is, hurts my heart that I have to say this, but once we start seeing actual, the way that we saw in New York, when we start seeing trucks, loads, trailers full of bodies because places can't handle them, that's when we start getting those images, that's when it's going to be starting to take serious. I hope they're successful, Ursula. I hope. I've been saying this a month and a half ago. I wanted Florida to be successful. I wanted everyone to be successful with this coronavirus. But for some reason, we are not controlling this, and it's continuing to get worse and worse and worse. Dr. Fauci said about 2 weeks ago, he says, I'm concerned that the cases might get up to 100,000 a day. Well, now we're at like 60,000 cases a day now.
Yeah, just a few. It is scary, but again, I think there are some people who are just saying, I'm ready to live. I am one of those that I'm ready to do other things, you know, with reasonable risk. I'm always going to wear a mask when I'm anywhere. There might be more than 10 people. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to kind of throw myself under the bus a little bit.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm being serious.
Yeah.
And here's where I'm concerned, because even though I talk this way, I don't think, outside of the mask, I don't think that I take the coronavirus as serious as I should. And I don't think that my body or myself can go back to it. And what do I mean by that? I mean by this. Like 4th of July, I don't think that I was the safest that I should have been.
What'd you do?
I was around people. I was at
but
a friend's
did
house.
You have a mask?
It was in the car. You know I don't lie.
Yeah.
You know I don't get on the radio and lie. Yeah. You know I'm not gonna lie. Right? Even just now, you guys, I told you that somebody came here to move the chair and found out I was me of the Gene Ursula Show, and so he wanted to have a picture. Right?
Was that what we heard?
No, that was during the break.
Okay.
But I took a picture with him. All I'm saying is this.
Yeah.
I know how serious this coronavirus is. But I think that the reason why I'm telling this story, Ursula, because you said that people want to live. And I think inside of me, I want to live too. I want to live through this. But there's something about me, I don't think, that can truly shut down the way that it did from March, April, and May. Because I was really strict at one point. Mm-hmm. And I don't think my body, I don't think my mind can get as strict as possible. Now, if you guys tell the truth the way that I just did, you know what I'm talking about. You know that probably there's a probably part of you that's probably doesn't go as hard as you should be the way that you maybe did in March or April. And I think that's just the mind.
And I'm part of that camp, but I will say that anytime I'm in public, I always have a mask.
So
I try to stay 6 feet apart. I wash my hands all the time. I spray down. I have multiple hand sanitizer bottles in my purse. Mm-hmm. I spray anything down that I touch,
yep.
You know, but I've been going into work. I'm, you know, we're definitely not perfect, but we're just giving you the facts that are out there, what we know is going to work, and, you know, the complications, I bet. Now, my son just told me yesterday, he went to Leavenworth, my youngest, because his girlfriend's visiting, mm-hmm. and he went to Leavenworth, and he said that, you know, it was definitely different. Most people now, more people were wearing masks than when we went about a month ago, so that's good. He said, you know, businesses felt very different, but some businesses were open, and some restaurants were open, and, you know, again, do what you can control for yourself.
Ursula, I'll ask you this question before you move on to the next one.
Yeah.
I do. I wear a mask everywhere I go. All I'm saying is in March and April, I was very strict.
You barely left your house.
I didn't leave. I did not leave the house. I was so strict. I didn't see anyone. And all I'm saying is I'm not as strict now. Do I wear a mask out in public? Yes. Do I social distance? Yes. Do I go eat at restaurants? No. I don't really go anywhere. I'm just telling the truth of what happened to me on the 4th. And I'm asking you, Ursula, are you personally as strict today as you were in April?
No, and I probably wasn't as I did what we were told to do, but, you know, I've never refused to wear a mask. But have I been perfect about that? No.
That's what makes so what I'm saying is what makes me nervous for our country is the country's attitude towards it, too. And I'm asking even myself. So I asked a question a second ago. I'll ask it to myself. What is going to make me go back to being strict again? Because I believe in order for our country to truly get past this global pandemic, we are going to have to get strict again. And what is going to make us do that? What is it going to take? Is it going to? And I've already had a family member
die. It's going to take people to be personally impacted.
I've been personally impacted.
I know. And we talked to Angie yesterday from Kona Kitchen, who lost both her parents. I mean, but, you know, she has a business to run. Mm-hmm. And so her advice was great. Act as if everybody you're going to encounter might have COVID. Right. And do what you can to protect yourself. Okay, I'm going to squeeze in one more, and this is going to be not an easy one. A white woman who pulled a gun on a black mother and her 15-year-old daughter outside a Chipotle in Michigan says she feared for her life. Jillian Wustenberg is speaking now, and she says she may have accidentally bumped into the teen girl as she was leaving the restaurant with her bags of food, and then the teen had asked her to apologize.
The mother very quickly was on me. The daughter was running from my left up to me, and within moments, a second or two, I had multiple people within 2 feet of me, and I remember, I'm not going home tonight.
Okay, but a video, so she said she didn't think she was going to be going home. So a video that has gone viral shows Wustenberg and her husband backing out of that parking spot after, you know, having some conversation that was getting more heated with the mom and the teen. And then it looked like she nearly bumped the mom, nearly bumped the mom who was in the back of their van or close to the back of the van. And then it appears the mom smacked the van with her hand. And then it quickly escalated when Wustenberg jumped out of the van with a gun.
Come on, back up here now.
I got it.
Don't you jump behind my car.
No,
I ain't jumping behind your car.
Don't you?
Mom,
stop moving. Stop, Mom.
Get the back.
Mom, stop moving.
Back the up.
You got this on video?
Yes.
Okay, so now
the teen is
videotaping while she's trying to tell her mom to get them heck away.
These white people, they're so racist.
Okay, so that woman that you heard crying a little bit earlier, she has now been charged, along with her husband, charged with one count of felonious assault, which could be punishable by up to 4 years.
You did me dirty, Ursula. You gave me this one. And only got like 10 seconds to give a comment. You want to know what my comment is?
Yeah, what?
Usually those tears work. Right? Like those little tears, you know, like. It usually works a lot of times. But I know video has made things different now. Could you imagine if there was no video? Could you imagine how this story would go? Interesting. Hey, coming up at 11:47, we will have text feedback, and of course we'll have words to live by. And at 11:33, Ursula, what we're doing?
I'm so sorry. We are going to give a update on. Remember, we're going to talk about if you could go back and change your career path. What different path would you take? We were going to have that conversation.
Coming up next, Gene Ursula.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for spending part of your morning with us here on the G and Ursula Show. Coming up in about 10 minutes from now, we're going to have even more fun than usual, I suspect, when we share your texts and feedback and, of course, words to live by. But right now, G, let's talk about career choices. And I don't know if you've heard, but Microsoft has just launched this new program to offer cheap or free training to help 25 million people around the world get the digital skills needed in a COVID-19 economy. And that got us thinking about our own career paths. And, gee, if you could go back, would you change yours? And if so, what would you have done?
Here's a story that I never told my dad about career stuff. Never told my dad. Actually, I've never told anybody about this career choice. and something I probably, if I had to do it all over again, I would have told the truth about it and I would have reapplied. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
And it's on record. Everything I say is Seattle Police Department.
Did you really?
Seattle Police Department, the year was 2001, I believe.
I could see that, though.
So here's what happened. I applied to be Seattle Police Department. So I went through it. There was a CTEC down there. I think we had to do the testing, the written tests, had to do the physical tests. I did all of that, right? The reason why I didn't end up getting on with them was because of bad credit. Yeah.
Just because of bad credit.
So when my dad asked me what happened, I told my dad that I had a change of heart and I wanted to do something else.
Aww.
I never told him the truth about what happened. So anyways, you asked me career wise.
So you would have wanted a career in law enforcement.
That was my love. That was my life. Like, that's all I saw coming up. Yes. Yeah.
How I did not know that. That is news.
Ursula, nobody did.
Wow.
Yeah. How about you?
So I started here at Cairo, as you know, as a newly turned 23-year-old. So I went into journalism school. I went to the University of Oregon. Mm-hmm. I got 2 degrees. I mean, when I was in high school, I knew that the two career paths I was thinking of, one more than the other, but if I wasn't going to be a journalist, I wanted to be a teacher. I love kids. I love teaching. I love mentoring. But I really wanted to, even though I had through high school and especially in college, even in our journalism school, I would hear over and over again, there are so few people who make it in this business. If you're going to be doing this business, if you want to go into journalism, and if you want to go into especially broadcast journalism, you better be ready to work in tiny towns, make zero money, move around everywhere, lose your job at any point. And so much of that was correct, but it was almost like more of my professors were trying to discourage us from doing it. And only a few of us from that school ended up and are still doing journalism careers. And if I could go back, I mean, there were many times that I wanted to quit here. I mean, many, especially the years when I was news director. I've shared some of that. But it's not an easy career. And sometimes I think because I would get offers from cities like Chicago, Atlanta, even New York at one point, like, you know, would you consider moving here? Well, once I started a family, I wasn't going to move. You know, I wanted to raise. This is a great place to raise children.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention my husband has a career here, you know, and so I'm not a big risk taker, if you probably have figured out by now. But if there was something like right now, I encourage like our sons and anyone young to try different things. I mean, I kind of stayed with the same career path, you know, and now, I mean, I figure, hey, I'm really proud of the fact that we get a chance to do this show. I mean, 32 years into my career here, it's like I'm trying something entirely different, something right. that I thought I have done every job at Cairo Radio. And I thought maybe this would be the one that I would never do. And so here, you know, here nearly 32 years later, I'm getting a chance to try it. And to be honest, I don't think I'm going to try anything else. I mean, if this flames out, that's it. I'm out.
you know
okay, I shouldn't laugh because you never know, but
you never know. And I'm glad you, well, first get the chef, how about you? Here's a chance to redeem yourself for today.
What would I have done? I would have gone to college. Maybe I actually didn't do that after high school, so I don't have a college degree.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that would have kept, you know, some different doors open for me. But I think probably the best job in the world would be a location scout for Hollywood. Get to travel all around the world, connect with like the most interesting people, find the coolest places. I would love to do that.
I got to say something about the whole no college thing. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I made a complete assumption because you are one of the smartest people I know. even
one of the smartest people.
Right? You're laughing. He's laughing for a different reason. You're laughing, G, because you agree with me, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just excuse him for today.
See, I'm not that smart.
Well, you know, Ursula, you said something that kind of struck with me is like, okay, if this flames out and this doesn't work, you know, you're like, that's it. And I was just thinking to myself, I was like, here's my deal. If this didn't work out, like I think what I'm doing now, what I do every single day, sometimes I wake up on Saturdays and Sundays and I wish we were doing the G and Ursula show. I love what I do today. It's like the most favorite thing ever. So if so many of us are either in a career or doing a job because we need the money. I would say the majority of America, and probably you won't make that move or that change because you have to make money. You have to pay bills. If this didn't work, I wouldn't go to another town to go do radio. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay right here in this town. And I'm going to do something, whether it's go work at a Boys and Girls Club, whether it's go work at a YMCA. I'm going to do something that involves creating change with my voice, with my experience and on life and all of those things. So I think people is something that I have to be around. And you know what? Whether or not I make money doing it, it doesn't really matter. As a matter of fact, I've been poor most of my adult life, so I'm good. Hopefully, my kids are rich. That'd be nice. You know what I mean? And then I can go and live. We can go live with them.
I'll tell you what. You have so many talents, my friend. I mean, you really do. And I think you are, you know, I'm so happy for you with the opportunity that we have here. So hopefully it won't flame out too quickly.
That's right. That's right. Some few texters told us to, they texted in and said, gee, go be a police officer and Ursula go be a teacher from 9 to noon every day.
Oh, that was a good setup.
Hey, coming up next, it's time for your text, your feedback, and then Ursula's words to live by. It's G and Ursula. It's the G and Ursula Show. Happy Friday to all of you. We appreciate you listening to the show. It is now time for texts, your feedback, and then Ursula's words to live by. Ursula, always you go first, buddy.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the part that's above the line again, because it tend to be really nice things said about us.
I don't get sent the above the line stuff
anymore. Oh. Okay, that's yeah, right. It's okay. Or maybe it's your computer. Yeah. Anyway, I find that you and I are on opposite ends of the political spectrum. But that being said, I do appreciate hearing your opinion because I find it very constructive. After listening to you, I often find I have a different angle to look at a particular situation. It might not fully change my side on an issue, but it allows me to recognize there are good, compassionate people who are opposite of my opinion. But, you know, you're not resorting to so much extremism that is in politics today, an opinion today that many people are not willing to listen to one another. So I believe it's a talent that you have, G, when you can share your opinion in a non-confrontational way most of the time. You don't have anger in your heart.
I'd have more fans if I said, you know, those on the right, I don't really like. No, just kidding. Thank you for the compliment.
Yeah. And we said that's just not who we are. So, okay. The other one said, oh, thank you, Ursula, for being the voice of reason. Please don't lump all law enforcement into one category. On the importance of voting, it says, go out and vote. I agree. I voted for $30 car tabs.
Womp womp.
And by the way, check this out. During a pandemic, you mean to tell me Governor Jay Inslee can't just say, hey, you know what? Let's go ahead and allow people to get $30 car tabs. But no, no big deal. Cutting SPD's budget by 50%. 425 says 10%? 20%? Sure. Maybe. 50% is crazy.
206 says, defunding police is like quitting a job without a job to go to. Defunding without an approved plan for replacing the services to the people is not prudent. Correct.
567, we need major reform. I fully support the 50% budget cut to the police. It's a super inflated budget, and frankly, I think without taking that drastic step now, it probably wouldn't have happened. This will force changes within the police department, and as far as what to do with the other 50%, yeah, that needs to be watched and accounted for. I think mental health services and education would be good places. Schools need money to open safely this year, right?
And Molly Moons, that was the big one. And again, go back to our 9 o'clock hour at the end where we had
Please
a
don't.
Bit of a meltdown. But 253, Molly Moons is being divisive in already divisive times. That is the issue. Sorry that your producer doesn't get this. Another one said, I think Chef needs a juice box and a nap.
Yo, that was hilarious.
That cracked me up.
I got to say one last thing, though, because it's really important. I just wanted to make sure, because someone pointed out that if it sounded like Chef was talking about police shooting, he was talking about tear gas, flashbang, not shooting. Okay, just want to make sure that was clear.
All right, well, we're out of time. It's time for Your Words to Live by Ursula.
And we talked about our career paths, and this is for you. Do not let the memories of your past limit the potential of your future. There are no limits to what you can achieve on your journey through life, except in your own mind.
Good stuff, Ursula. Great week. Fast week.
It was.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Chef, I have everything but baked chicken breast. I have it fried, I have it sauteed, you know what I mean? Deep fried shrimp.
Pineapple shrimp, lemon shrimp, coconut shrimp, pepper shrimp.
Well, good luck with your terrible vegan food.
Hey, you're on day six. You're doing well.
Yeah. Chris, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, I'm getting fried chicken on the way home.
My man!
Oh, it's been a great show. It's been a great week. And I got to tell you, I grow every time I do this show. I really do. And I'm grateful for all of you that listen to the show. I'm grateful for those that I do the show with. It means words to listen to the show. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.